Let's get out our Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, pray for the Haiti team. They're on their way home. They've got some great stories to tell of what God has done and some of the things they've experienced down there. So be in prayer for them. They're not on their way home yet. They'll be leaving tomorrow and they'll be in late tomorrow night. But God's just used them and done a great work. And so, and you guys are part of that. So just be in prayer that God would bring them home to us safely. Ephesians 5 this morning, as we continue our series on marriage. This is God's plan for marriage, part 3. And this morning we are going to look at the wife. Ladies before gentlemen, as I shared a couple weeks ago. So we're going to start with the ladies here in Ephesians chapter 5. And so let's dig in. Let's begin in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Then he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Here we have God's instruction as to how to have a good marriage. Now, listen, last time we saw, or a couple of times ago, we in this series, when we began, we saw the purpose of marriage. And what was that? Because it's not good that man should be alone. So to solve the problem of loneliness, a companion God provided. And the goal, of course, in marriage is through that fellowship with that companion that God has provided as he made the woman Eve and brought her to the man. There is to be a unity, a oneness, if you would, a harmony through which a family can be blessed. You see, and then he goes on and he tells us, as we looked at last time together, he tells us how this can happen. It all starts with waking up to things spiritually. Because listen, non-believers, if you're a non-believer, you're going to have trouble with this study. Because, you see, it doesn't seem to be right in your own thinking, and yet God's ways are not our ways, are they? They're higher and they're better. And hey, let me tell you, while it not may not make sense to you here, guess what? What we're reading here is God's word, and he is the creator of marriage, is he not? Since he created it, he's also ordered it. And he's given us a plan as to how this unity and harmony is to develop. And this is not an idea any man had. This is instructions from the Maker. Now, I care not. I realize today that many are trying to tinker with God's plan. They don't like the way it's kind of set up, so they want to change it around. And I think the family should be like this. And I think the family should go like this. And I think the right way to do it's like this. And there are a myriad of opinions out there, aren't there? And in fact, when you ask for counsel, you'll get them. So what do you think I should do? If you want to have a little fun, just go around to people and say, well, you know, if I'm having problems in my marriage with my husband, my wife, what do you think I should do? And run it by 6 to 8 people at the office or on the street and see what varying opinions you get. And you'll know why there's so much confusion and delusion about what marriage is. There's confusion and delusion about what the family is. So we need to know what the Bible says. And we saw last time together that God wants us to know what His will is. And spiritually, we've got to wake up to what God says. And we got to walk wisely. God wants us to walk wisely. And if we're going to be able to accomplish anything by way of a good marriage and family, then we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because what you'll find very quickly as we read our text this morning, you are not going to be able to do this in your own strength and energy. It doesn't come, by the way, naturally. This only comes supernaturally. And then we are to live in such a way as to be worshiping and praising and receiving from God His strength and His power, submitting to one another in the fear of God, treating one another like brothers and sisters, recognizing that we all stand before God. Wherever we are, He's there. And He knows what's going on. And then He says, wives, submit to your husband. As unto the Lord, your own husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is a head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, whenever there's a therefore, find out what it's there for. Why is it there? Well, He's drawing an illustration, a correlation, a picture. He says, therefore, just as the church, the picture, the wife, the church, is subject, submitted to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Paul begins with the wife because his instructions flow clearly out of what he has just said. And that word submit. You see, that word submit, well, it's taken a bad rap today. When the Bible says, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And it is to take, by the way, the same form as your submission to the Lord. That teaching, ladies, it's not popular. And it's certainly not politically correct. In fact, it's politically incorrect. The women's movement has effectively quashed any attempt to subject women to men. Hey, don't submit to him, man. I know what the Bible says, but that's old stuff, man. That's the old ways. But wait a minute. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is He not? Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my words will never pass away. You see, when the Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, that is your responsibility in the marital relationship, you see. The husband's is to be the head of the home, the leader, the one with whom the buck stops. Therefore, it's necessary that the wife submit to her husband. He's the head of the home, not because you feel like he's the head of the home. Not because he does it so well. Okay? Not because he's perfect in any capacity. He's the head of the home for one reason and one reason only. And you want to know what that is? God said. Just like a police officer. He's not a police officer because you feel like he should be. Even if he doesn't treat you properly and go through the right protocol, you see, he can get in trouble. But you do well that even if he's being an idiot to submit, to go along with it, you see. And then when you get before the judge, you can go ahead and deal with it. But if you don't, you might get treated very, very poorly by this police officer. And you may be treated, but he still has the badge. So you can still get in trouble. You see, God says, hey, husbands are the head. Listen, that is not I mean, that is not something that is optional. That is the husband thing. And submission is the wife thing. Now, here's the problem many times when we think of submission. A lot of times we think of weakness. You get the stupid idea that it speaks of somebody that's weak and wimpy and that kind of a thing. Let me put that to rest presently in a picture. When the Super Bowl was being played, ladies, probably, maybe not a whole lot of you watched, but you might have popped your head in. I don't know if you understand the game or not. I certainly don't. I was calling defensive guys on the, you know, running the ball when they were actually defense last service. So somebody help me out, straighten me out, because I don't know much about the positions or the game. All I know is that they get the ball down to the goal line. Okay, I know how that works. I don't know who plays all of the positions other than I know there's like tight ends and there's loose ends. And no, that's what I have. But I mean, there's running backs and then there's the quarterback and then there's the center and those guys. And here's the deal. When they get together in the huddle and the team has the ball, from my understanding, the quarterback says, here's the play. And when he tells them the play, they don't have like an argument. It's not like, you know what, man? I don't think that's a good idea. I don't either. I'm with him, man. I think you ought to pass the ball to me. And no. None of that goes on. What goes on, from what I understand, is the quarterback calls a play, and then after he calls the play, the men position themselves, and they have one intention. They submit completely to the authority of that quarterback, because their goal is to get that ball down to the goal, you see, and they work together as a team, and because those men, be they whatever position, those blockers, think of the blockers. Now, when I think of the blockers, I'm not thinking weak and wimpy. When I'm thinking of some of those blockers on those teams, these guys can all go, yeah. And they're ready. Blah, you know, they plow right through. Hey, they have one intention. That is to protect that quarterback. That's their deal, man. To protect him, to keep him from getting hit. And then, of course, if there's guys out that are receiving, they're there to kind of back them up, to watch, you see, just in case they catch the ball, what they're supposed to do. And listen, the quarterback doesn't always make it. Sometimes he fails. Sometimes a ball's fumbled. But the bottom line is they all submit to the play that the quarterback lays out. Because they want to win. It's all about teamwork. It's all about working together. You see, if you have one goal, and that is not to get your plan done, but to get God's plan done, and His plan is to bring unity and harmony in the home, then there has to be a quarterback for the team that is calling the shots, and you must, ladies, submit. To not do so is to get penalized for extra time in the huddle. To not do so is to get mad. I don't like the play. I'm not blocking. You know what, man? That's trouble. You are not going to get the ball down to the goal line. Your team. Listen, team. No, he's going to lose. No, if he loses, guess what? In God's economy, you lose. And guess what else? The kids lose. The whole family loses. It's important that you understand the Word of God. This is not the word of a machismo man. And I say cheese with, it's not cheesy teachings of some man. This is the Word of God. And He's saying to you ladies, and you probably figured it out. If you've been married for any amount of time, listen, you figured it out. Your brain tells you, I don't know, care what other people tell you. I don't care what those with the degrees tell you. Your brain tells you, he's different than me. And not just by appearance and by components. He is different than me in the way he comes at life. And you probably figured out that she's different than you, haven't you? You guys have both. It doesn't take much brain power to kind of figure that out. Now, what's God's plan in that? You see, we need to understand that that difference has been created by God. It is not something that's a mistake. It's not something that's an accident or a happenstance. It's something that God has simply created men different than women. They'll always be different than women. They'll never be a woman in this attempt to try and make them a woman. You know, be more like me and loving and appetite. You know, listen, if you get a guy like that, watch out. A guy's a guy. And guess what a guy has? You can deny it. You can try and, you know, say, oh, it doesn't exist. But a guy's a guy. And the bottom line, he's got an ego. Have you noticed, ladies? Have you noticed? Come on. You've noticed, haven't you? And guess what? He needs your submission and he needs your support. He needs your support. God has created him to need certain things from you. And when you talk to him, have you noticed you can't talk to him like you talk to the ladies? Have you noticed that? I mean, he doesn't relate the same way the ladies do. He's a get to the point kind of guy. And the ladies are going, no, tell me all the details. It just is. And listen, he needs your submission and he needs your support, your respect. He tells us down in the last verse of chapter 5 there for the wives to respect their husbands. How's your respect quotient? How is your submission? Is it as unto the Lord? Or is it, I'm submitting, but I'm submitting and surrendering on the outside, but on the inside, he's an idiot. First of all, if you're hiding it from him, and I doubt it if you've been married a long time, you say, well, he's so insensitive, he wouldn't know. Oh, no, he knows. He's just put up with it. You see, your submission needs to be from the heart. God is watching. The submission is to be as unto the Lord. And the respect and the appreciation. God says that's what a man needs. It's not, ladies, what you say to him that is the problem many times. It's how you say what you say to him. Let me just tell you something about a man. If you get in his face and start preaching and pointing, and you're going to create serious problems. Serious problems. He needs appreciation and respect. Now, maybe he works too much. Maybe you look at what he does and the way he works and he's into achieving things and getting things accomplished. Hey, God has created him that way. Did you know that? Before you ever came along or were created, okay? God put Adam in the garden and what was he to do? To care for it, to tend it, to work in it, to watch over it. Before women were ever created, God had inbuilt in this man, you see, the desire to, I'm going to take care of this man. I'm going to protect this. I'm going to watch over this. I'm going to make sure it's looking good. You know, that kind of a thing. That's just the way he is. And listen, if you think that when you talk to him about work, and you tell him, well, he needs to change his priorities, that that's going to be a opener of discussion and intimacy. You attack him on that level, you see, and you're going to have problems. Because he has a desire to do that. And you need to appreciate that desire. You need to encourage him in that desire. Now, he may fail, you see, at some level in his performance of that. But guess what? He has a desire. He wants to make the efforts. And he's been created that way. And if you need proof, if you start attacking his work, if you need proof, just check out men. When a man meets a man, ladies, if you'll pay attention and listen, what's one of the first questions that he generally asks? Or what's one of the first things he says? He doesn't say, "Nice haircut, like your shoes." "Oh, where'd you get that outfit?" That's not the guy thing, right? What do guys say? "How you doing, man? Hey, so what do you do for a living? Where do you work?" I mean, we're going to get around to that like almost one of the first things we are going to find out. We may say, "How you're doing? What are you up to? Hey, you know, what's the Lord doing?" But eventually, at some point, if we've never met the guy before, we're going to say, "So where do you work?" Right? We're going to say, "Where do you work?" Why? Because there's something about us that's the way we were created, man. We want to know. We have that desire. We've been designed in that way. Man derives his sense of satisfaction in the field and the woman in the family. You see, man was cursed, and the curse was, what was man's curse from God when they fell in the Garden of Eden? That he would what? Work and earn his living by the sweat of his brow. Is that correct? He cursed him at the place of his interest. Okay? Now, the woman, where was her curse? You're going to be cursed in childbirth. You see, the man was cursed in his interest in the field, and the woman was cursed in her interest in the family. Hey, how about that? So a man that wants to earn a living and support his family, ladies, appreciate that. Eve was created as a what? Helpmeet. One who comes alongside of and encourages and believes in the man. That's what he needs. God knew that from the beginning. You knew that when you were dating. When you were dating and he would tell you about work. So how'd work go today? "Oh, I did this. "Oh, you're so awesome." "Really? So what happened then?" "Well, my boss was on me." I would never. "You know what? You shouldn't work for him because you're more valuable than that. I don't know why they treat you that way." And you're going, "I like this woman. She gets it." Because you were affirming him. And you know what? You're created that way, ladies. You got that kind of affirming thing going on. You just, there's something in you that wants to do that, you see. In fact, we see it illustrated in daily, you know, I'll go back to the sports illustration. The guys are down on the field, hitting, competing, tending, protecting, out on the field, playing the football game. And what are the girls doing? "Go, get him." You know, isn't that what they're doing? Come on, that's what they're doing. Moms are up there going, "Yeah, get him, that's my boy. Cheering them on, affirming them. God has built that into our hearts, into our DNA. Sadly, 3 children, you know, or 4 children, 5 children, several years down the road, he's not as loving as you think he should be. And so you've retired as his cheerleader and become his attacker. I'm not cheering that on. he's missing every ball. He keeps dropping it. I'm done cheering. I'm going to point out the problem. You do that to your own destruction. And you know what? You will push him if you do that. Ladies, when you get on your husbands and you say something like this, I'm sick and tired of you choosing work over the family. You get up early. You come home late. You don't care about me and the kids. Yes, I got your message about your promotion at work, but I don't care. It's all about you, isn't it? You come home from work. You sit down in front of the TV, fall asleep. You always work. You never have time to talk. And I'm fed up with this kind of existence. It's always about what's important to you. You need to make me feel more important. You may feel that way. Okay? But you go down that route and you'll shut him down. No, he won't cry like your girlfriends would if they were attacked. Like, I'm going to go, oh my gosh. And walk away. He's not going to do that. And he may not even retaliate. Because you know what? It's amazing, ladies, how you can quote every bad thing he's done for the last... You know, it's like roll a video. And he feels defeated. He goes, you know what? She's right. I am a failure. I'm a failure on every level. And this is just one more. And so he just shuts up. And he shuts down. And you know what, man? He's a lonely man. And you're trying to get him to love you more, but you're losing the battle when you're doing it that way. You see, God made your husband with some needs. And he tells you in the Word. And you know what? You may feel like, well, that's dumb. You know, it's dumb. That doesn't make sense to me. Listen, if you want to bless him, you need to fulfill your responsibility and properly treat him and communicate to him. Try this instead. Honey, I know that you work hard. I appreciate how hard you're working. Or I know that you're right now out of a job and I've been praying for you. And I know God's got something for you. And I appreciate that you're out there trying and just stay at it, because I'm so thankful for you. I know you want to provide and you want to protect me and you want to care for me. And I just am so glad that God's blessed me with you. And when he goes, are you okay? You see, you can deny that appreciation. You can get in his face about it. It's not going to help. But pastor, he's not doing what God wants him to do. You know what? Here's God's word. Ready? God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3, God's word. Here's what he says, Amplified Bible. That means the Amplified takes the Greek words and expands them to give us the full meaning of what those words are. And here's how it reads, ladies. Listen up, tune in, because God knows you and he knows how you struggle when your husband isn't doing what you think. He's not running the play that you want, and so you're not feeling like blocking or doing anything else. He says, hey, if he's not running the play that you want, he says, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. That is, listen, subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them so that even if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over. Listen, ladies, to this, not by discussion. Don't get preachy. They won't win. You won't win. You'll lose. You get all preachy and you'll lose. You need to change your priorities and you'll lose. You'll destroy him. Bitterness will build in. Don't win him by discussion. How do you win him back to God's ways, to doing the right thing? By the godly life of their wives. Now, what's that look like? Peter lays it out very clearly. that when they observe, now listen, ladies, checklist here, prayer time. Guys, don't be elbowing your wife during this service. Yours is coming. See, some of you out there going, yeah, man, tell her. You know what? Yours is coming. So equal opportunity. So be very humble and don't be pointing the finger either. You need that. You know this for the purpose of prayer. Okay? Not for the purpose of pointing it out. That's God's job. But he says that when they observe, here's what they're to observe in their wives, the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence. King James says fear. The word is actually reverence. And in the Greek, the word reverence means to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him. That is to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Got some work to do? Wow. But if I get like that, then he'll just take advantage. You try it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Well, I don't understand how that's going to help. He needs to know. No. You try admiring and praising and being devoted to, and then you back down a little bit and you appreciate what he does for you and the little things he does for you, and just, you know, be his cheerleader. Respect him. Honor him, you see. And man, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. Because he's got that built-in desire to provide and to protect. And if you're out there pounding on him and pointing at him and saying, you need to do this, then you become his mother. And guess what? He doesn't want to be kissing on his mom. There's something about it. How come he doesn't love me? Well, because you're like his mom. You know, he's dealt with that, you know, and as his mother, you know what you can say? Hey, look at me, you know, as a kid to a parent. You can say, pay attention. But when you start that rap to your husband, are you listening to me? Are you paying attention to me? He's going, boom, shut down. You don't get his attention that way. You can talk to him, admire and praise him, and express your love and appreciation for him. That doesn't mean you can't talk about issues and problems. But listen, you need to do it properly. Hey, honey, I know that you don't mean to put work in proper priority. And I know you're doing the best you can to try and balance things out. And you know what, sweetie, just pray for me because I'm struggling. I love you. I miss you. I'd like to spend a little more time with you. But you know what? I'm praying that the Lord will help you and you'll be able to get more time. And, you know, just that kind of a deal encourages him. It doesn't push him away. It doesn't build bitterness in him. Listen, and ladies, if you have a job and some of you work outside the home and the kids are gone, you're working outside the home and when you come home, you know, maybe you're in a position of management and you're an administrator and you have those gifts and God's given them to you. And that's great. In the workplace, use them. But when you get home, ladies, take off that hat. You're not in charge at home. And become that woman. Margaret Thatcher was asked, what do you do when you get home to your husband being the powerful leader you are? She says, many times I just have a good cry. Margaret Thatcher, cry? Have you ever seen Margaret Thatcher and the way she behaves in public? Yeah, in public. Very powerful leader she was. A very powerful, you know, administrator. But when she came home, she understands that she takes off the leader hat and puts on the feminine, female hat. She wants to be treated like a woman by her husband. Then she needs to treat her husband like a man and let him lead the home. and respect him for who he is. Ladies, if you want to be held by your man and cry with him and be tenderly treated by him, then you need to make a decision not to manage him in the home, but to just be that woman who just says, "Oh, sweetie, I love you. I'm so glad I married you." And just a lot of times, women will come up to me, married women, say, "Hey, Pastor, what do you think I should do about this?" I say, "Have you talked to your husband?" No. That's where you go first. That's where you go first. Talk to your husband at home first and see what he says. Well, he's not a believer. So let's talk to him anyhow. Maybe it'll encourage him. Even about Bible verses. "Hey, well, honey, what's the Bible? You know, the Bible says, I was reading right here today. What do you think this means?"
Something about a guy, even if he's probably, even when he's a non-believer, many times it'll go, "Well, I don't know, let me see. She's coming to me. Better check this out."
You know what? There's something in a guy that just, that's the way it is. And if you go telling him, "Well, here's what this means, let me show you what this means." You know what? You can do that. But you do it to your own hurt. You see, that admiration, that appreciation, of course, the picture is Christ in the church. Christ in the church, that's the picture. That's what marriage is to be. And ladies, if you don't get that, if you don't do that, if you don't practice that, then you're going to have problems. Listen, God intends marriage to be one safe haven and a battle-free zone, pretty much. Now, we're still sinners, so we're going to struggle from time to time. But that's the goal. We got to get the ball down the field. We got to block. We got to listen to the plays and move together as a team. And you see, if that's going to happen, then we got to do it God's way. And ladies, the power is yours. God has put you in the place where you are ones that are not bound, but free to submit. And God, again, wants it from your hearts. That's why he says, submit is unto him. And as your marriage is strengthened and your husband is built up, the result will be a greater blessing for you and for your family. A great picture for your children to see. Now, there's one limit to submission.
Some of you are going, "Oh boy, I can't wait to hear this. I know it's going to be something like, I don't feel like it." No.
There's one limit to submission. You know what that is? That is, if he asks you to do something that is clearly against Scripture. For example, if he asks you to lie, respectfully you say, "Honey, I'd do anything for you, but I can't do this because God says I can't lie. So I'm not going to embellish this. I'm not going to lie. You know, I love you and I'll do anything for you, but I can't do that. Can't cheat, can't steal." There's this clear Scripture that would be disobedient to your higher authority, and that is the Lord. But anything else, pretty much, unless you have clear Scripture, you are to submit as unto the Lord. How about it, ladies? You need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, don't you? You're going, "Oh, God, help me," right? But you know what? He's there to help you. And man, don't settle for a miserable marriage. You do your part. You do your part. "Well, if I do that, don't you worry your little head one bit about what he does. You just do your part. And guess what? You'll be blessed no matter what he does, because God blesses and rewards those who are obedient to him, doesn't he? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. He's going to reward you. And even though, you know, there's a storm crashing, he's going to protect you and care for you even in the midst of that storm. And he's going to bring you through and bless you in it. You've just got to be obedient to the Lord.
love your husband, encourage him, and respect him, and appreciate him, and admire him, and submit yourself to him, and be that woman in his arms. Just is his cheerleader. And the dividends, God says, he'll take care of blessing. You'll be blessed in doing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the